The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
It has been approximately 173 days since I donned a headset to bring you a Vanderbilt athletics-related event. That, of course, was day one and only of the Southeastern Conference basketball tournament at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. That was March 11th. Well, our world has changed since then, but fortunately, we are back and hoping for college football here in the fall and a chance to talk Vanderbilt athletics with you. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to be with you for the Commodore Hour. We will do this every Monday night, except for next Monday on Labor Day. We'll be here from 7 to 8 p.m. on Monday nights. Tonight's show, we've got a great one. Of course, we'll visit with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. We'll catch up with what's going on with the Commodores as they are at practice preparing for this upcoming, hopefully, college football season. And then later on in the hour, a visit with our new chancellor, Vanderbilt Chancellor Daniel Diermeier. Our first opportunity to sit down with him. You're going to want to hear what he has to say, not only about what's going on campus, but what's going on in terms of his relationship with athletics and his vision for athletics now and for the future. Stay with us. Coach Mason's going to join me right after this. You're listening to the Commodore Hour. This is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Glad to be with you talking Vanderbilt sports as we will do this every Monday night, 7 to 8 p.m. right here on 102.5 The Game. We are hoping for a college football season. That is the plan right now, and Vanderbilt football is in full preparation for that opportunity to open at the end of September at Texas A&M, and we are pleased to have Commodore head coach Derek Mason join us at this point. And I tell you what, my friend, I usually see you almost every day at this point, either at practice or in your office or in the hallways. I haven't seen you in weeks. I miss you. How are things going?
You're going well, man. It's been fantastic to get back on the grass. But I miss you, man. Joe, it's been a while. We didn't get a chance to play a round of golf. We didn't get a chance to do a whole lot during this time. I know it's been challenging for everybody, but it is good to be back with our guys, back in the building, on the grass, and doing all things football right now.
I got to ask you, Derek, I mean, we've been through this process, and we've seen what's happened to the Big Ten and all. How concerned were you not so long ago that you were not going to have a season?
We were focused on, really what could we do? What was going to be available to us? We didn't know, 3 months ago, exactly where we sat. We didn't know, as of a month ago, what would be in front of us. But, we really just tried to stay focused. And that's part of, our mantra in 2020, making sure that we can, stay focused, stay accountable, to one another, and try to be a group and that's really united in terms of how we move. And so, as we looked at it, I just told our guys that let's just be where our feet are. Let's take it, one day at a time, 1 week at a time. And, the picture started to become a little more clear as to, what we could do and what we couldn't do. It was good to get back in the month of June, have an opportunity to take a class, slowly acclimate our guys into, this circle that we now, know to be something that's moved us from a June to July, now in August, heading into September. And you know what? It hasn't been without its challenges, but it's been fun, to really be around our guys and see how these guys have really, embraced the idea of taking on these daily challenges and making sure that we can get better.
Can you give us an idea, and I say this because I'm in a situation where I've not been to my office since March 11th. I have not been to McGugan Center since March 11th, and hopefully we'll be able to come back at some point here in the near future. Given that, what type of protocols have you put in place, have you and your staff and with work with the medical people and all put in place to try to make this as safe as possible for your team?
The university itself has listened to the state and local government and really done a really good job of looking at exactly what we needed to do from our testing protocols. Our student athletes, much like the students, being tested before they came back into campus, and then within 48 hours of being back on campus, being tested once again. And our testing has been ongoing, and that's one instance of a bigger plan to try to make sure that it was all about safety, health, and welfare of everybody in the organization, not just players, but players, coaches, administrative staff, everybody that's around us. But as I've watched, us work, we haven't been without, challenges ourselves. I mean, we went 2 months, really without, any hiccups. And then we had a small flare where we had to pause for, player, health and safety, with a couple of positives. And we really looked at, our social distancing protocols, everything that we do in the building, and how we operate, our hallways, our meeting rooms, looking at, the contact tracing piece and making sure that everybody, understood, exactly like how this works and what we need to do. We've experienced, isolation. We've actually experienced quarantine, as well. And, just seeing how all these things that we have to make sure that we can stop the spread, isolate, and minimize, any impact of COVID. I think this university has done a tremendous job of listening to, our student athletes, listening to staff members, as to, how we need to operate. And then, even looking at, the mental health piece, because when you have a student athlete, quarantined or isolated, just making sure that we've got, things in place to be able to accommodate, resource, and really check on the well-being of the student athlete and or, staff member, who's been affected. So, kudos to Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt, has been a leader in this. I think they understand, where we are. It's a moving target. It's challenging, but, Vanderbilt's done a terrific job of just, staying in front of it, and we have to be, consistent, and I think that's what we try to do to the best of our ability.
We're visiting with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. Derek, there's been so much focus on what happened with the Big Ten and all the whatever you want to call that sideshow that has become. I guess I'm curious, how involved were you and your fellow coaches in the process of the conference deciding to go ahead with football? I mean, were you involved in that? Did they ask you about that in the conversations?
Well, think about the SEC. I think the SEC has been united from the get-go about, what's best for players. We've had conversations about, ongoing, medical protocols, whether it be federal, CDC, state, local, everybody on our weekly calls, we've tried to, talk about, everything that there is to talk about from, what do we do in these instances? How can we help our student athletes with not moving forward with football, but, being able to talk about, wellness, and having wellness discussions. I think we were united in finding out information, and I think, Commissioner Sankey did a terrific job of just, leading in a time where you need, solid and pronounced leadership. He stood upright and he spoke to us and really gave us, assurances on what we were going to do in terms of medical protocols. I mean, they had an SEC working group, medical working group, which we had a couple of our doctors and our athletic trainer on that were providing, daily you know, updates on, you know, where we were, you know, what we could do. The NTA was providing information as to, you know, operational protocols in terms of practices, walkthroughs, meetings. I think all that, you know, lets us know, man, that there was a plan in place. And it was always about, you know, man, making sure, man, that we had good information. We could take that information and make sure, man, that we made, you know, good decisions. And I think, you know, man, as we continue to move forward, like there was just information coming to us where we can make solid decisions about, you know, man, how to proceed.
This is the Commodore Hour. We're talking Vanderbilt athletics every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on 102.5 The Game. I'm Joe Fisher. Glad to have Commodore head football coach Derek Mason with us for the next few minutes. And, Coach, I got to guess, you have two new coordinators come in. You've got a quarterback battle. You've lost a number of skill players. You've got a lot of positions to fill. Are you at a disadvantage this year given the fact you did not have the opportunity for a real spring football practice?
We're focused on what we have right now, Joe. I mean, this is the time where we can get on the grass, we can evaluate our guys, we can put the pieces of the puzzle together, and that's been the good part. I've got pronounced coordinators and you know, Ted Roof and Todd Finch. These guys know their craft. They're making both defense and offense, you know, turnkey for these guys, and I think that's important. If you look at your skill, you look at who you have, and you put guys in the right position, and then you work off the skill sets that these young men have. And they've been terrific. Man, terrific teachers, terrific communicators. They've been around the game a long time. And I think that's made the transition, you know, for everybody, you know, with the lack of time, you know, I mean, extremely fun, competitive. And right now, everybody's learning how to be accountable to one another.
Of course, the focal point is quarterback. Everybody knows that coming in. You had two guys in the spring that got a few reps, and Jeremy Musa and Ken Seals. And Ken Seals, in fact, just a few minutes ago, I think 24/7 Sports named him to their true freshman All-American team, by the way. But you add two more, you know, that come in here for fall camp. So you got four quarterbacks battling for that starting spot. So I guess the obvious question is, how is that going? And at what point, how far along do you have to go before you have to make a decision in terms of your depth chart?
We've got four tremendously talented quarterbacks. Danny and Mike, you know, are the other two quarterbacks, you know, who weren't mentioned. And, you know, Danny comes to us, you know, by way of Kentucky and then, you know, junior college down in Texas. And, you know, excited about his experience. He understands, you know, what the SEC, you know, is competitively. And Mike Wright, coming from Woodward Academy, where, you know, he led his team to the state, you know, championship game. He knows how to play at a high level. They're all very different. They've got different skill sets, but they're all extremely competitive. They understand that we're looking to, you know, fill that position. Right now there's a vacancy tag on it, and we're looking for, you know, each one of these guys put their best foot forward. I think it's competitive, not combative. These young men root for each other, but by the same token, each one of these guys wants this job. So we've got another, you know, 2.5 weeks, you know, to continue battling, and then we got to, you know, tighten it up, make a decision, and go forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, in an ideal situation, when do you have to make a decision who's your one, who's your two? Is it 2 weeks before the first game? What point would that be?
Yeah, you're right around that time. Me and Todd, you know, have talked about, you know, how we go forward. I've been here a couple of times before, and Todd's got a ton of experience in this area. So, you know, we know and understand that we need to get to it. But right now, what we're trying to do is look at the people around the quarterback position, you know, who's going to be the best five, you know, up front. We understand that we do have some experience at the wide receiver position. We've got some young talent at the tight end position. We've got some experience at running back, but we've also got some, you know, talented young running backs. So, you know, we need to solidify, you know, what the protection is going to look like, what the run game is going to look like. And as we're doing that, we're always evaluating, who's under center. So that gives us a chance over the next, 2.5 to 3 weeks to get ourselves ready. But a decision is going to have to be made. We'll make it, in due time and give ourselves our best chance of creating that chemistry as you go into game week.
One of the positions that gets very little notoriety, obviously, is offensive line. But you've had two or three players on the offensive line that have opted out this year due to the COVID-19 outbreak, which is totally understandable. I get that. But they were guys that, had significant playing time. A couple of them probably would have been starters. So how concerned are you about that? And is that just an opportunity for some young or new guys to step in and fill that void?
I think any time you have change, I think there's an opportunity. Looking at where we were, Cole, look to, step away, this year. That was a blow, for our squad because he had played in a lot of football games. Everybody else, in that group were guys who were going to be, role players in our offense. And I think what is done, especially with the freshman class and some guys who actually saw a little bit of time and or, redshirted a year ago, it just moved their clock. And we've had guys like Justin School, step in and play. Grant Miller, has played some. Dan Dawkins played a little bit. But it's going to be anchored by Tyler Steen and Grant Miller. And, getting a grad transfer like Connor, really helps us because he can play tackle and or guard. And so you got a lot of guys battling right now, as I look at it. Braden Babs, maybe battling for a tackle position. And you've got Bradley Ashmore, battling. You got Mr. Cox, who steps on the field, as a true freshman, but, at 6'5", 305 pounds, extremely athletic, extremely strong. Tevo Wesley. I mean, these are names that we've heard of. And these guys are going to have an opportunity, in 2020 to get on the field. Is it going to be now? We'll see. There's some great battles going on. We're going to continue to get better as we continue to get on the grass. And what we look forward to is putting, the best five out there, the best five that give us an opportunity to line up versus Texas A&M and play good football.
Coach, we look forward to it. I look forward to having you with us on these Monday nights, and I look forward to seeing you hopefully sometime soon.
My man, Joe, I miss you, brother. But you know what? Until we see each other again, we'll just keep talking on the radio and talking all things Commodore football.
That's what we'll do, Coach. Thank you. Best of luck to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Coach Derek Mason with us talking Vanderbilt football. He'll join us on Monday nights through the course of this season. Gupton Jeep, your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters. Been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. The focus is going to be on practice this week and getting those quarterbacks ready to make a decision here in a couple of weeks. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I had a wonderful visit with our new chancellor, Vanderbilt Chancellor Daniel Diermeier. You're going to want to hear his comments. Well, we welcome everyone to the inaugural Commodore Hour. I'm Joe Fisher. Glad to have you with us. We had a chance to visit with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason, and now thrilled to visit with the new chancellor of Vanderbilt University, only the 9th chancellor in the history of this institution. Daniel Diermeier joins us. Comes to us after serving most recently as provost at the University of Chicago. And Chancellor, welcome. It's great to visit with you, although I cannot imagine taking a job under more challenging circumstances than you've had to take a job in. This has been quite a ride, hasn't it?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you, and thanks for the warm welcome, and glad to be talking with you. Yes, it's been quite a challenge. It's arguably the biggest challenge that higher education has faced in its history. It has been, very challenging last 6 months. And on the other hand, I have to say that it has been a very rewarding experience for me personally, in part because I think if you are moving into a leadership position, you want to do it during a time when you can have an impact. And this certainly is a period in the history of Vanderbilt and of higher education in general where the impact will be profound. not just how we handle the COVID-19 crisis, but also how we think about higher education more generally in the future.
Well, I want to talk, you're gracious to spend a couple of segments with us here tonight. I think in the first segment, I'd like to talk kind of in generality about coming to Vanderbilt, things you've had to deal with here, and then in the second segment, maybe more specifically, talking about athletics and your thoughts on that. First, other than the obvious of the opportunity to take over as a chancellor at a major university, what was the appeal of Vanderbilt to you?
Yes. So when I started this process, and you know, when we started our conversation with Vanderbilt and with the search committee, I had already known about the university in part through my own research, and I had known about Owen. I had known about the law school. I actually had been here at a conference. I'd known about the terrific work that had been going on in the political science department. So I had that perspective. The second perspective was really from the point of view of the university as a whole. And I had watched what had happened in Vanderbilt over the last 10 years. It is one of the very few universities that have made tremendous strides in enhancing their reputation and overall how they have moved and evolved over the last 10 years. I had heard about the Opportunity Vanderbilt and you know what a magnificent support program it was for its students. I'd heard about the residential colleges and overall the transformation of the undergraduate education. I'd also had heard about the spin-off of the medical center and was extremely impressed by how carefully this was done, how thoughtfully it was done, and how well it was executed. So I had seen the trajectory, and that was really interesting. And it showed that this was a dynamic place that was going places. What I didn't know so much, but became clear during the interview process, was the collaborative culture at Vanderbilt. And it was distinctive from the very first moment. And it is really part of the fabric of this great university. I'm encountering it in my work with the board, in my work with the vice chancellor, with the deans, with the faculty, with the students, with the staff. This is an enormously cooperative, collaborative place. It's really a community where people take care of each other. And of course, during the time when you have a crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic, those qualities and the ability to work together for a common purpose are more important than ever.
You mentioned the pandemic. You had some pretty important decisions to make right off the bat. One of those was whether the students would come back to campus or whether learning would be remote. What was your process and your final decision on allowing students to come back to the campus?
So I assumed formal responsibility as a chancellor on July 1st. Having said that, in part because of the fact that everybody was working remotely and because I was able to scale down my involvement as provost at the University of Chicago fairly early during this period, it was ironically easier for me to participate in some of the important decisions because since everybody was working remotely and I was working remotely, you could actually be part of the team, work with people individually, some who they work together, and have a more kind of roll up your sleeves role rather than just being visiting and kind of, you know, getting to know everybody. So being part of this process was extremely helpful and useful. And interim chancellor and provost Susan Venti has been a terrific partner with me during this entire time. So I would say that starting in late April, May, I really was part of the decision making in a much more meaningful way. What guided our decision making was pretty straightforward. We did it based on what's our mission, what do we do, what's our purpose as an academic institution. And this academic institution is dedicated to residential education. Now, that's part of who we are. That's part of what we did. I mentioned, you know, that this was a very important part of Vanderbilt's history anyway, but particularly in the last 10 years, we kind of doubled down on that because we believe that it is the most impactful and transformative education that we can ever offer as a university. And secondly, we're a research institution. And so that means we needed to do anything possible to make it possible for our researchers, particularly those that have to work in labs environments, to resume their research. Many of them actually working on finding vaccines, therapeutics, and treatments for the very disease and pandemic that is creating all the problems in the first place. So our mission was clear. And so that meant for us, how do we do this in the context of the health and safety challenges that are prevented, that are presented by COVID-19? So our goal was, how do we, true to our mission, how do we make this possible, work very hard in a very creative fashion to restructure how we operate in order to be able to invite all our students back to campus. And there were months of extremely dedicated work, people working together, people working extremely long hours, very dedicated, all to this common purpose. This may sound a little bit modest, but I'll say it anyway. I think there's no better plan in higher education than ours. It's careful, it's thoughtful. It is based on science and the best public health information. It is based on a strong partnership with Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Our School of Nursing has been extremely important in being able to do the testing, the contract tracing, and now the process that allowed us to bring students back to campus. We were able to invite all our students back to campus. Those students that wanted to have individual rooms would have them. If they wanted to be off campus, they could do that. Those that chose to be online or had to be online because of health reasons or visa restrictions could do that. So the whole process was thoughtful, careful, with an enormous amount of work, and that allowed us basically not to have these kind of one-size-fits-all restrictions, but to work together to really advance our mission as we try to invite students and researchers back to campus.
You have a very multifaceted background. I love reading about all the elements that you have experience with, have been involved with. I want to ask you about a couple of them. One, obviously, is political science, political theory. That's been very important to you. I would imagine in this 2020 election year and all this going on, this is a fascinating time for you. My question would be, what do you perceive the role is, not only of your office, but of the university and the students in terms of the political aspects that we're going through now?
Well, I think that universities always have played an important role as a pillar of a democratic society. And we're not only educating our students to be experts in a particular areas, but to become leaders for tomorrow. And that involves that they play an active and engaged role in the democratic process. And, you know, many of them have become leaders in the political realm, but others are business leaders, others are scientific leaders, others are artists. But we want them to think about themselves as assuming a leadership role. And so the values that we bring to the table and that part of our education, which is the ability to discuss things with each other, to engage with ideas seriously, to understand that there are different perspectives, to understand what it means to argue for your position, but also be convinced by a better argument on the other side, and most importantly, to disagree without enmity, important values and skills and capabilities that anyone who participates in democratic governance must have. So many of the academic goals and the leadership development and the ability for us, or our goal to develop the whole person as leaders for tomorrow, directly benefits for what is necessary to have a functioning democratic process.
There's one other element I wanted to ask you about, and this is a very high-profile element as well at Vanderbilt, and that's the areas of diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
You've been heavily involved in that in your previous positions, Northwestern, you know, especially. So coming into Vanderbilt, what was your looking at Vanderbilt, how they stand in diversity and inclusion and how important that is to you, and especially now with everything we're dealing with in this nation in terms of racial and social justice?
Yeah, it's a hugely important issue. It has been further, I think there's been more urgency has been created along that, in part because of COVID-19, and we've seen the health inequities directly realizing in different fatality rates for members of the African American community, Hispanic community. These brought some of these inequities really to the front. And then of course we had the killing of George Floyd and the other shootings that just created a whole sense of urgency, I think, for all of us. Now, it's very important that that we understand and think about diversity inclusion in the context of our values overall. And what universities, and especially Vanderbilt, is committed to is to help our students and our faculty and our staff to fully realize their human potential. That's really what universities are about, whether that is in the academic side, in the athletic side, in the artistic side, in the business or political leadership side. Our whole purpose is to help people realize their potential. And so when you think about the elements of diversity and inclusion, that means number one, remove barriers. So we want to make sure that all students and faculty and staff that can benefit from being part of the Vanderbilt community can do so. That's why Opportunity Vanderbilt is so essential, because it basically allowed us to invite and bring students in irrespective of their financial background. They could benefit from a Vanderbilt University education. That's the financial barriers. But then you have to work on other barriers. For example, you have to work hard to bring diverse students to campus that may come from first generation backgrounds. I'm a first generation student, so I know how hard it is to even imagine yourself as being at a place like Vanderbilt. And then we need to create an atmosphere and a culture of belonging where people can really feel that they're part of the community and realize their potential. I should say that another piece to that, related to that, is I think also that the university's responsibility it has for its community. And this was something I was heavily involved at the University of Chicago in the Southside community of Chicago, but university can have a tremendously positive impact on the communities. We're already doing this through many, many projects. And of course, you know, the work that Vanderbilt University Medical Center has had on its community right now is profound. But I'd like us to be more intentional about it, to see whether we can do more and to be an even more positive impact on our community. So what the current climate and what the current issues have generated for us, I think, is a question of how do we do more? We've done a lot already. How do we do more, and how do we do it in a way that is really deeply connected to our values and to a purpose as a university?
I understand you've had some pretty memorable experiences in connection with collegiate athletics. Am I right?
That's true. So many years ago, when I first came to this country, when I literally arrived at LAX airport in Los Angeles with 2,000 suitcases and $1,000, and I just, you know, never been to the United States, never been to an English-speaking country before. After I got lost on the freeway a couple of times and I kind of found my footing, athletics actually was a way for me to become familiar with American culture in a deep way, because, of course, athletics and sports are such an important part of American life. And even in the language, there's so many expressions that are directly related to sports and metaphors. You know, he threw me a fastball, you know, he hit a home run, he's a singles hitter, let's get it across the goal line. I mean, all these things are fundamentally just demonstrate the importance that sports has in American life. Now, that was not foreign to me, because I had been a sports fan all my life. You know, growing up in Europe, of course, you know, soccer was the number one sport, and I remember vividly the 1974 final, which was one of my first, you know, really kind of conscious memories as a kid, between Germany and Netherlands, and you know, the dramatic 2-1 win, and I, you know, remember all the players and the drama of it. So athletics and sports has been an important part of my life. So what I did, I fully embraced the athletic culture and sports at USC, but more broadly speaking, at the United States. I'll give you like two little samples of that. The first one was, I must have, you know, arrived a few days early, and I watched a lot of games to just improve my English and be better to be able to kind of understand, you know, spoken English more casual way. So it became more like a part of what I was to just understand what people are talking about. You know, I mean, my education had really been more on the academic side. So my very first baseball game I've ever watched on TV was the World Series game one between the Dodgers and the Oakland A's, and it was ninth inning, and Kirk Gibson was on the plate and hit the, you know, the two-run home run there where he almost couldn't run the plates because it was hobbling. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's interesting. I like that. And then I really got caught up in the sports and the college athletics at USC. USC at the time was there was a deep rivalry, which of course there always has been with UCLA and USC, but this year was particularly profound. So Rodney Peet was the quarterback at USC and Troy Aikman was the quarterback at UCLA. And the crosstown rivalry was intense. And then of course, you know, we lost with an undefeated season. You know, I went to all the games in the Coliseum. I got the general student pass. And then the last game, the only one I didn't attend, I didn't see it at all. We lost against Notre Dame, who then won the national championship. So I had I experienced firsthand for what college athletics can do for a university community, how it can involve the students, how it can bring them together. Now, this was an extreme example, but you can experience what athletics can do. And there are very few other things can bring a community together as much as athletics.
So I know this, you have that from the student perspective. Does that carry over, do you believe, to the alumni perspective, to the sidewalk fan perspective, to have that connection with the university?
I very much think so. And I think it's not an accident that sports and athletics is such an important part of people's lives. I mean, for many people, it is the thing that they're most passionate about outside of their family. And, you know, we all have, for those of us that follow sports, we all have experience of the game or that experience or when, you know, and the experience of, like, you know, triumph and heartbreak all at the same time. But an enormously and intense emotional connection that this is. And so you ask yourself, what is that? What's that about? Well, and I think fundamentally is that the values that we share in life are represented in athletics in a deep way, in a kind of, if you will, in a simplified way, in a way that everybody can value. Hard work, talent, not giving up, working together, coming together as a team for a common purpose. The heartbreak of the bad bounce, you know, the last minute comeback. I mean, these are powerful, powerful elements of how we think about life in general. And I think that's why we love it. That's why it is that, and I forgot who said it, but I think it's a brilliant insight. It's like, you know, if I want to know what's right about the world, I read the sports page. If I know what's wrong about the world, I read the politics page. May not be quite true right now, you know, given that, you know, the world of sports is still like, you know, kind of a little bit less rich than we would want it to. But the important part is that the values that we see in athletics are not distinct, I think, from the values we see in life or at the university. And so understanding that, being conscious about that, fostering that, and doing it the right way so that it works, is aligned with what a university like Vanderbilt is all about and what it stands for, can be very powerful.
Another large decision you had to make right off the bat or be a part of was to fill the athletic director's position here. Mm-hmm. What was your process and why was it right in your mind to drop the interim title and have Candace Story Lee take that role over?
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to get a sense of athletics. And so I talked to all the coaches. That was, you know, one of the things I did right away. And, you know, Zoom allowed me to do this and in a much quicker way, in a much more expeditious way than one would think. So, and I got very quickly a sense for where athletics, the sense of athletics at Vanderbilt. And of course you have, you know, tremendously strong programs there. Tim Corbin and what he has done to baseball, is amazing. And you can see the culture that he has created in this area. And you see that in other areas of athletics as well. So that was great to see. The second thing that I saw was a tremendous respect that Candace had with the coaches. And then I spent a lot of time with her on my own, and I could see that she's the right person. And why is that? Well, of course, she's a distinguished student athlete on her own. You know, she has, she's a triple door, has 3 degrees from Vanderbilt. I mean, she bleeds black and gold. She's extremely committed to what this university is. And I think she also brings, you know, a perspective that is very deeply aligned with the way I'm thinking about college athletics, not as some kind of separate entity, but that as connected, deeply connected with the university. And that's how I want to think about it. I'm thinking about athletics not as some kind of separate thing that's, you know, across the road, but athletics is one way in which we foster and realize our mission to advance human potential. And that happens now in the case of student athletes. And so for me, you know, having an athletics program is not different than having, you know, a law school. You know, and I want the dean of the law school to be a close partner in how we think about the university. And I want my athletic director to be part of the university. So it was very important to me to have somebody who understood that, who was committed to the same values of college athletics, and I could partner with, so that there is not an inch of daylight between me and the athletic director. And Candace had all these pieces together. I brought all these pieces. And I think there's also a sense of ambition here. So I think that, you know, we, as proud as we are of where we are, we also know that work needs to, there's work to need to be done, and that we need to strengthen, you know, our programs, and particularly the high profile programs, you know, in football and men's basketball, and we need to do better. And, you know, and part of what it means to have a successful program is winning. So I think there has to be a sense of ambition, and there has to be a sense of, like, that the same standards of excellence that we hold ourselves accountable in the university overall are supposed to be our grounding or the foundation for how we think about college athletics. So it has to be done the right way. It has to be done in a way that is aligned with our values, but it also needs to demonstrate a level of excellence that is commensurate with the excellence of the university.
Two final questions, Chancellor, and again, thank you for spending time with us. One, I know coming in, there was so much talk about the need for facility improvements, you know, primarily the talk about a football stadium. With all that's gone on now with the pandemic and everything, are those all elements that are sort of put on the back burner, that are on hold, not only for athletics, but really for the entire university? How does that proceed?
So the first thing I should say, you know, is we had a strategic plan that came, that was, you know, that was launched before I arrived here, and I think that's, you know, that's going to guide some of the things that we're going to be doing. But, you know, the opportunity when the new chancellor comes in is, you know, if you have a new chancellor, you have a new permanent athletic director, is to rethink things, and so that's what we're doing now. And so we're looking at every aspect of how we think about athletics. We have a lot of current challenges. Of course, you know, how do we deal about return to competition during the COVID pandemic? That's one part, and we need to deal with that. But at the same time, we're taking this time to think about our plans to advance athletics at Vanderbilt. And we're making great progress with that. Everything's on the table, and we're thinking through this carefully, through these issues carefully, following the way we want to do this. Close connection with the university, clearly integrated, but with a sense of purpose, such that we want to make sure that athletic operates at a level of excellence commensurate, you know, with the university. Now, exactly what this means, and what the, you know, what the investments are, we want to know. We're not there yet. We're thinking this through, but the process is ongoing, and what's most important here is that we have a common goal and a common purpose, and we're working towards executing that and putting that into action.
Finally, in our final minute, Chancellor, I'm sure you heard this coming in the door. I've heard this. I was born and raised in Nashville. I've heard this refrain all through my life. There are people who say Vanderbilt just doesn't really care about athletics. Mm-hmm. What would be your response to those people?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm new to this, so I've heard this too, and you know, I'm not going to talk about the past and what was there. We're fully committed to athletics. We're fully committed to athletics. As I said before, I think a successful athletics program is an enormous asset for a university. This is a great university. We need to have a great athletics program. That's that. So the idea that this is some kind of an afterthought, or we're like, you know, we're not paying attention to that, certainly not the way I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking at it as it is, that it is important. It's an important component of the lives of people. It's closely connected to what we are as a university. It's an integral part to that, and that the values that drive us and the rest of the university that also drive us to to developing athletics programs that we all can be proud of. And I think, you know, one additional piece to that is that athletics is one way in which the community connects with the university. And I think we need to be mindful of that, and we need to think about how do we enhance that? How do we do more of that? How do we invite the community to participate in athletic events? And how do we just improve the relationship between National overall and Vanderbilt, particularly on the athletic side? I think, again, there are lots of good pieces already there, but I think we can take that to the next level. We're fully committed to athletics. It's an integrated part of the university, and our goal now is to put a plan in place that allows us to realize that vision.
Chancellor, thank you so much for spending this time with us. Great to finally get a chance to talk with you, and I look forward to seeing you in person when we get that opportunity.
That's right. Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure to spend time with you, and all the best.
Thank you. Vanderbilt Chancellor Daniel Diermeier with us on the Commodore Hour. We'll wrap it up in just a moment.
As we go out the door tonight, that's D-O-R-E, obviously. Certainly congratulations to Commodore baseball coach Tim Corbin, inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame over the weekend. Certainly well-deserved. Also mentioned former Vandy boy Mike Minor, traded to the Oakland A's earlier today, so he joins another Vandy boy in Tony Kemp on the A's roster. Certainly my thanks to Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason and to Vanderbilt Chancellor Daniel Diermeier. Hope you enjoyed their comments. It was great to visit with them. Coming up, Max Herz with the Anchor Down podcast. So more Vanderbilt athletics talk. And let me give you a hint for one of the guests. I'm on the show. That's coming up in the next hour. My thanks to Phil and Alex back in the studio. Thanks to Max in the studio here. And most of all, thanks to all of you for being with us. This is the Commodore Hour. I'm Joe Fisher. I'll see you in 2 weeks here on Monday night on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.